Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome to Food for the Journey. Yesterday's program, I really didn't have time to complete. I said, tried to say a lot in that last minute or two of the program, but I want to pick up on that before we look at today's readings. There is, brothers and sisters, in us a self-sufficiency, and self-sufficiency can be very good. But there is in us a self-sufficiency that if we can't provide for a situation, the first thing we do is try to grab somebody who could do it for us. And that might be what God wants in that situation. But what I'm saying is, what the scripture from yesterday, what the gospel of yesterday, the gospel of Matthew, I was speaking about the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, Matthew 14. What we're speaking about there is a situation that I think the Lord wants us to pay attention to always when you're in a situation, any situation, but especially when you're in a situation that's over your head. Don't despair. Turn to Him. Say, Lord, what would you have me do? Help me. How can I look to you? I remember, and I know in the past I've told this story, but it comes back to my mind today. There was a priest, a friend of mine many years ago, Father Rick Thomas. He is a Jesuit priest. He's since gone to be with the Lord. And Father Rick served in Juarez for many years on either side of the border, and he really cared for the poor. And he said one time he had all these children. I think he told me, if I remember correctly, a couple hundred children who were coming there to the center where he was. They needed food. And he didn't have much. And then the truck arrived. That was a regular route. The truck arrived with supplies that were meant for the poor. But he looked at what was in the truck and he thought, this is not enough. This is not enough. So he prayed. He prayed. And then he said to the workers, just give them out, give them one to each one, and let's ask God to provide. Brothers and sisters, they prayed, and they started giving out. The supplies looked low. It didn't begin to meet the needs. There were 100 and some children. It didn't begin to meet their needs. And Father Rick Thomas said, don't anybody go back to the truck. Don't anybody look. Just get what you need and keep bringing it out. Brothers and sisters, they fed all those children and had some left over. Think about that. God answered Father Rick's prayer because Father Rick had given up seeking his own glory. All he cared about were the poor. And God saw in him a genuine love. And he answered it. When I said something to Father Rick, how marvelous this is, he just laughed. He just laughed. He didn't take anything to himself. He just laughed. He said, isn't God marvelous? What kind of faith do we have? I'm not saying that we're going to, I haven't seen a miracle like that ever. But are we going to trust God to supply what we need? You do what you can, do everything you can. But when you've reached the end of your ability, are you turning to the Lord? Or are you simply giving in to the ways of the world, which says, well, that's all we got. We don't have any more. Nothing we can do about it. Or do we turn to the Lord and say, what do you want to do? Let's take a look at the readings now for today. Prophet Jeremiah chapter 30. It's a continuation of Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 1 to 2, 12 to 15, 18 to 22. The following message came to Jeremiah from the Lord. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words I have spoken to you in a book. For thus says the Lord, incurable is your wound, grievous your bruise. There is none to plead your cause, no remedy for your running sore, no healing for you. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. I struck you as an enemy would strike, punished you cruelly. Why cry out over your wound? Your pain is without relief. Because of your great guilt, your numerous sins, I have done this to you. The Lord is saying, the suffering you're undergoing is your own fault. You brought it. But then, says the Lord, see, I will restore the tents of Jacob. His dwellings I will pity. City shall be rebuilt upon hill, and palace restored as it was. From them will resound songs of praise, the laughter of happy men. I will make them not few, but many. They will not be time, for I will glorify him. His son shall be as of old. His assembly before me shall stand firm. I will punish all his oppressors. His leader shall be one of his own, and his ruler shall come from his kin. When I summon him, he shall approach me. How else should one take the deadly risk of approaching me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. So he's punished them. And he said, your wound is incurable. We can't make it better. But in the great lavishness of God, God says, but I will return. I will heal. I will restore. Put your trust in him. Repent of your sin, where things have come to disaster for you. Repent of what you know. And then cry out to him. Perhaps your only sin is that you didn't cry out to him enough. Perhaps not. Perhaps it's not obvious. But cry out to him. Thank him for what he has done in the past. Ask for faith. Ask for hope. Stand in the middle of disaster and say, Lord, help me. I don't know how he will do it, but he will never leave your prayer. It's never unheard, and it will be answered in some way. Psalm 102, the Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all his glory. He's angry because again and again and again people turn away from him. And then he promises them blessings. Then they get the blessings. Then they forget about the blessings and they go back to their old ways. We see it through scripture and we know it in our own lives. For a while, yes, we're grateful to God. Oh, yes, I'm going to do this and that and the other thing. And then we just get back into living our lives and our priorities sink to their old levels. We need to make God a promise. The promise that I will give into your hands, Lord, the desire I have that I know leads me astray from you. I give you this desire. I ask that you will change my heart. I will come before you every day, asking that you rid me of jealousy or pride or envy or sexual immorality or the addictions where I choose the addiction over God. I choose to turn to the whatever the addiction might be. I choose to turn to it for satisfaction instead of to God. Where am I? Where am I, in a sense, because of that, worshiping a false god? I'm looking to something to solve my problem when it's God I need to turn to. It's a form of idolatry. Remember what I said to you last week. Choose one area, just one. Make one change. That's all we're capable of. We can't even make the change, but what we can do is decide that we're going to eliminate this and turn to God every moment of every day to help us break the habit, the pattern, the cycle. The Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all his glory, and he will do that in you if you turn to him with all your heart. And the Gospel of Matthew, this is a long gospel, verses 22 to 36 of chapter 14. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede him to the other side of the sea while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said. See, I mean, obviously they were so frightened that they weren't thinking clearly. But notice they turned to anything but a miracle. They wouldn't have believed in it. They couldn't believe it was Jesus. So it's a ghost. And at once Jesus spoke to them. Take courage. It is I. It's I. do not be afraid. And Peter said to him in reply, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. As Peter, brash, enthusiastic, he just, you know, would throw it out there, whatever the desire was. And Jesus said to him, come. So Peter got out of the boat and he began to walk on the water toward Jesus. Now, notice what the next verse says. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. In other words, he took his eyes off the Lord, literally, physically, he took his eyes off the Lord and began looking as the wind was whipping him and could have drowned him, could have caused him to drown. He took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at the circumstances. How many times do we do that? When he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And after they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, truly, truly, you are the Son of God. And after making the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country. People brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak. And as many as touched it were healed. How many people stood back and said, oh, the crowd's too big, I can't get up there? How many people just humbly went forward? As long as there were people, Jesus was there. All who touched it, the tassel on his cloak, were healed. Do you see that these people, in their desperation, everything else had failed many of these people on the shore. They were very poor, and they put all their trust in God, and God immediately answered. What we so often say is, well, yeah, I'll try God when all else fails, but maybe I can do this, maybe I can do that, maybe this will work, maybe that will work. Put your faith where it belongs. That doesn't mean God doesn't want to use your earthly gifts. He does and will. But turn first to the source. Drink from the source first and then ask him, what do you want me to do as part of your plan? Do you see how that gets you out of the center of the circumstance? Then God is more free to work. His grace is more easily able. God could do anything, but he chooses to work with human weak will. He won't coerce us because that would not be love. He wants us to choose him. Brothers and sisters, God loves us more than we can even begin to understand. What you and I need to do is to stake our lives on him, to build from him as the foundation, the walls, and the roof of our life. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.